Good morning. Please rise as you are able and join me in our call to worship. The invitation is given to every person by Jesus Christ. Come to me, follow me, be my disciples. We come to this place, to this time, at the invitation of Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ, we accept the invitation to discipleship. In the name of Christ, as his disciples, we worship and praise God. Come, let us worship together and share our witness of God's living presence in the world. Amen.
Good morning. It's a great day to be with you here in worship. We are so glad that you are here today. If you are joining us online, we are delighted that you are joining us there. Please catch the little pop-up box so know that you're worshiping with us. And on each row, you will find our attendance pad. If you would take that, fill it out, tear it out, and then pass it down the row, you can drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. If you're a guest here today, we are delighted that you are here. If you're a first-time guest, if you've not already done so, we ask that you'd stop by our hospitality center in the back. We have a gift for you, and we want to make sure that that gets in your hands. So I have a few announcements I'd like to lift up. So this Friday night, we are having Parents Night Out. It is from 6 until 9 p.m. You can come. You can drop your kids off. We'll have nursery, so zero on up. And you'll find more information about it in the bulletin. But you can come and drop your kids off and have 3 hours all to yourself. So we invite you to come and be a part of that. So we have our new family ministries director is working now, and she would like to have a parent meeting with both parents of children and parents of youth. And you will find more details in the bulletin about that. But there's a children's meeting on May the 4th and May the 7th, and a parents of youth meeting on May the 7th. But you'll find some more information there in your bulletin. Next Sunday, we're having a blood drive. Blood supply remains low in our area, and we need your help. So if you can give blood, please do so. You can scan the little QR code in the bulletin, and that will take you direct to the place where you can sign up. So Vacation Bible School is coming up. We've got already 200 children registered for Vacation Bible School, which means we're going to need your help, right? So we're going to need your help with that, too. You can register to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. We hope that you will, because we're going to have a whole lot of kiddos here, and we're going to need some help with that. Last Sunday, after this service, we had a pastor's lunch in which we invited a number of people to come and just learn about being what it means to be a member here. And we had 9 people join the church last Sunday in that event. And so, yeah, we're super excited. There's some pictures of them. So it's Becky Gailey, Mary Gordon, Jim and Pam Zimmer, Eric and Roxanne Summers, Jennifer Ruddy, Cecilia Nicanza and her children, and Gayla LaGrappa. Those are the folks who've joined. If you know any of them, be sure and give them a hug and say, welcome to the family. What a great joy it is to be with you today. I invite you to stand and greet your neighbor and offer them the peace of Christ.
Almighty God, we know that you are a God of compassion and love. And so we gather today with thanks because time after time, we have experienced your care and your provision. Time after time, you've answered our prayers and met our needs, often in ways that we didn't plan, sometimes in ways that we might not have wanted, but always in ways that show your goodness. We praise you for your faithful love toward us. And because we know that love, we know that we come to you with confidence, offering our prayers for the world that you love. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed by the needs around us, both the needs that we have in our personal life and also the needs that we see in the world. But we continue to bring you these prayers in faith because we know that nothing is impossible for you. You are the God that rained down bread from heaven, the God that made water flow from a rock in the desert, and the God who resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And you bring new life and hope to all who believe. So we lift up prayers today for those who live with illness, those recovering from sickness or surgery, and those in need of healing. God, we pray for those who are lonely. We ask that you would enter their lives and magnify your presence so they know the truth that in Christ we are never alone. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling in this world. We ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to the ways that we might serve them in your name. Merciful God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us a different way to live, this way of deep humility and obedience. You've called us to love one another and to work together with heart and mind, balancing our needs with the needs of those around us. And so, knowing all this, we ask you to give us the courage to follow faithfully, to live with integrity, that our actions would bear witness to the words that we speak, and that the worship that we have today would overflow into every day of the week, all of our tasks and relationships. God, we ask that our lives would bring glory and honor to you, our Redeemer and Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please stand as able for our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through his prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
So Mike mentioned in the announcements today that Vacation Bible School is coming up, and so registration is open for children and for volunteers. It's not even May 1st, and we already have 200 children registered, which is really amazing. We'll probably have another 200 to 300 register before it's time for Vacation Bible School. And there's a lot to be proud of for our Vacation Bible School here. It's one of the best in the area. And one of the things that I'm the most proud of is that it is free for children in the community. We believe that nothing should limit access to hearing of the amazing stories of Jesus, for children to learn about how much they are loved by him. And the reason we are able to do that is through the generosity of all of you. And we are so grateful. So in the next month or so, you'll start to see some items in the commons, little bags that have something attached to them, like a craft supply or maybe a snack. And we would just really appreciate if you would grab one of those bags and buy whatever is listed on it and then put it in the bag and bring it back. And that just helps us so that we know what we need to buy and what we already have. so that we can share with all of those children all the stories and all the love and all the amazing fun that happens at Vacation Bible School. It's just really my favorite week of the year. And I would love for you to join us in that. Like Mike said, we will definitely need hands-on help. And I believe that you will be just as blessed as the children that you will serve. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for all the blessings in our lives, all of the things that you have provided for us. And so we return now to respond to you, not only for those gifts, but also for the amazing gift of our salvation that we have received through Jesus Christ. Our response is one of generosity, because we know that we are never worthy or can earn this gift, but you have given it anyway, and for that we are eternally grateful. We know that these gifts will be blessed and that they will be sent out to the community to reach those who need them so that they may know of your love and of your grace. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained series is continuing. And we are looking at the core of what it is that we believe and why we believe it. 2 weeks ago, we talked about God the Father. Last week, we talked about God the Son. Today, we are going to talk about the work of the Son. So what is in a name? There is meaning behind almost every name. For instance, my name, Michael, is from the Hebrew word Michael, and it asks the question, who is like God? That's what my name means. And to the Jewish person, whenever that question is asked, who is like God, the response is, there is none like God. Well, Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. In Greek, it is Yesu. And when translated into English, it is Jesus. But no matter what you call him, whether it's Yeshua, Yesu, Jesus, his name means the same. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. That's what Jesus' name means. Yahweh saves. We read in Matthew 1:21, that Joseph is told to name your son Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Never in the history of the world was someone more aptly named than Jesus. Yahweh saves. That is who came to earth. That is who is present. God has come to earth to save his people from their sins. When we talk about the work of the Son, we are talking about what his life and his death and his resurrection, what did it accomplish? What changes happened because of the presence of Jesus on this earth? The answer is seemingly simple, but when you get into the details, it is immensely complex. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus did nothing less than change our entire relationship with God. It changed the world forever. That's what the work of the Son did. We believe that Christ died on the cross, was buried on the third day, and rose from the dead. That's what we confess. It's what we believe. in our Nicene Creed that we've been reciting. It says, for us men, which is really people, and our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what we profess. That's what we believe. We don't believe that Jesus was some phantasm that wasn't really here. We believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. It wasn't some kind of spiritual resurrection. Jesus was fully present in human form after the resurrection. We confess that, and we believe that. So let's see what Scripture has to say about this. We're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified to him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of God for the people of God. So here we see that word again, logos, word. We remember that in the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the Word. And he is the Word that has come to us. We read that the Word becomes flesh. God becomes one of us. God chooses to come to earth as an infant and become one of us. I have to tell you, in all the religions in all the world, no one makes this claim but us, that God loved us enough to become one of us in order to reconcile us to himself. Through the Word becoming flesh, we have moved from the law of Moses to the grace and the truth that comes to us through Jesus the Christ. Through him, God is revealed to us. Through him, God's great love and mercy is revealed to us. God became one of us. We killed him. We hung him on a cross. One of the most painful ways we have come up to kill somebody. God came to us and we put him on a cross. The blood that he shed for us was fully human blood. And it was poured out for you and for me and for the world. If you were to open your hymnal, in the back you'll see an index that has like keywords. In the back of our hymnal, there is a keyword, blood. We sing a lot. We talk a lot. There's several scriptures about the blood of Christ and what it does for us. Whenever we gather at the Lord's table, we remember that this blood was poured out for us. Jesus' blood was in part for us an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We sing about the blood of Jesus and all that it does for us. What was accomplished by Jesus' death on a cross? By this blood that has been shed for you and for me? So your $5 seminary word today is soteriology. Big word. They like those fancy words in seminary. This is the study of the doctrine of salvation, the nature and the means of salvation. Another way is to talk about the atonement. Jesus was an atoning sacrifice for us. So many years ago, when I was going through the process of becoming a Methodist pastor, I had to go before this big board, and they ask you all kinds of questions. Sometimes they try to ask you tricky questions, kind of try to trick you up. And so this one woman that was on the board looked at me and said, "What is your understanding of the atonement?" Now look, if you want to be a preacher and you don't have an answer to that, you may as well pack your bags and go home. That's a basic question. What is your understanding of the atonement? But that's my question for you today. What is your understanding of the atonement? What happened when Jesus was crucified on our behalf and then was resurrected? So that's my question for you today, is what is your understanding of the atonement? There are a lot of theories that talk about this. One of the earliest theories is that of a ransom. And the idea is that somehow we have become Satan's property, and he has control over the world. And that Jesus died as a ransom payment to the devil so that we could be free. And actually, for the first almost 1,000 years of Christendom, this was the prevailing theory. That Jesus was a ransom payment to Satan so that we could be free. But then people kind of started looking at that and said, well, wait a minute. That kind of gives equal billing to Satan and God. And Satan is a created creature of God. So why is a ransom really necessary? So other theories have sprouted up. There's one that's called Christus Victor, the victory of Christ. And the idea is that there is some sort of spiritual battle that is happening all around us, all the time. And that the sacrifice of Jesus, his death on the cross, has reconciled the cosmos in such a way that we have been reconciled with God. There's another theory that is called the moral exemplar theory. And the idea is that Jesus' life and his death on a cross is a powerful enough example of God's love for us that it will influence us to repent of our sins and do better. And yet another theory is the substitutionary nature. This is one that you probably are most familiar with. The idea is that our post-fall selves are sinful creatures, and we're mired in sin. That the penalty of sin is death. And you look in the Old Testament, and they made animal sacrifices sort of in their place, right? Sacrifices were made of blood to atone for our sins. And in this substitutionary understanding of Jesus' work, he has stood in our place. He has received the punishment that we deserve. When I answered my question, this was the answer that I gave. That I understood that Jesus took my place for the debt that I owe God for my sinfulness. And because of that, I'm free. There's yet another theory, and that is called the healing servant theory. And basically the idea is that sin is a disease. Sin is just sort of who we are. And that grace, the grace of God, is the cure for that. You know, I look at all of these theories, and there's merit in all of them. I mean, Jesus being obedient unto death on a cross surely is a cosmic event, because we are no longer subject to the wages of sin and death. His work did nothing but change the world and change our relationship with God. And I look at Christ's obedience. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." He knows what's ahead of him. And that level of obedience that Christ demonstrates for me inspires me. It makes me want to be obedient to God my Father. I understand that I am a sinful man and that Jesus has stood in my stead and received the punishment that I deserve. Jesus heals us from the disease of sin through his work and through the grace of God. I think there is some merit in each of these theories. There's a kernel of truth in them. But I know that the work of the Son has freed me from the consequences of my sin as it relates to God. Now, be clear, doesn't resolve you from the consequences of sin. You choose to do something stupid, there's consequences. But when you get to God, that sin is gone. That sin is washed away. When I was in that interview, I was asked a follow-up question. And she put it to me that there are some that argue that the crucifixion of Jesus was nothing more than divine child abuse. Interesting question. But because I understood the Trinity, because I understood what that was about, I looked at her and I said, "Don't buy it." Not for a second. That was not divine child abuse. That was God himself upon the cross. And he died and he bled for me. It was the second person of the Trinity that hung upon that cross. There was no child abuse. This was the love of God for each one of you. So what did the work of the Son accomplish? Simply this. Paul says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." There is no condemnation in God because Jesus stood, hung on a cross in your place. There is no condemnation because we have faith in Jesus. And we can stand before God wearing the righteousness of Christ that He has bestowed upon us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, You pour out grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We don't understand it. We know we are so unworthy. But Father, help us. Help us to believe. Help us to be obedient to Your will. Help us to do that that You would have us do. Help us to become more Christ-like each and every day. Almighty God, for the gift of eternal life, which is ours through faith, we are so grateful for that gift. We also, Father, know that we get to experience a little bit of salvation in this world, for You are with us. Your grace and Your peace, it walks with us. We are grateful for that little piece of salvation that we experience in this world. We are grateful that You loved us enough to become one of us, to will Yourself to die on a cross, that we might be set free. There is no condemnation before You. Father, pour out Your grace upon grace upon grace, all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Go forth from this place with the atoning sacrifice of Jesus the Christ in your hearts, that through Him there is no condemnation in God. You are forgiven. You are free from sin and death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.